Local artist Anjana Pachkova is about to launch a stunning new series at Stanley Street Gallery entitled Castle in the Sky. Her work embodies the emotion of the German term Die Sehnsucht, meaning a deep state of emotional longing. Through texture, line and movement, Andy captures this raw human emotion of nostalgia for what has never been. And Anjana joins us now on the line. Good morning, Andy.
Oh, good morning, Sophie. Thanks for having me here.
Not a problem. Just to start off, can you tell us the meaning behind your title of your exhibition, Die Sehnsucht?
Yes, of course. So Die Sehnsucht is a term that can roughly be translated into the English language. And it denotes a sort of a deep emotional state of yearning and pining for something that one is either missing in their life, or sometimes can also be described as something that one doesn't even know what one is pining for. C.S. Lewis once famously described the Sehnsucht as inconsolable longing in the human heart, for we know not what.
Wow, that is quite something. German has a lot of funny words like that, like Fernweg, which is longing to go somewhere you've never been before.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So there you go. So how did you try to capture this in your artwork?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, the Sehnsucht is a bit of a feeling rather than sort of like a very, you know, concrete concept. And even though I was inspired visually with the series through sort of a chance encounter, which I'll probably talk about a little bit later in the show, but, you know, it's sort of like trying to going to a studio for me is never sort of like a precise exercise of, all right, I'm going to get in there at 9 o'clock. I'll have my coffee at 9:15. I'll start painting this part of someone's face, or I will do this tree. You know, it's sort of like more of a convoluted experience, really. I sort of go in there and I meditate. I know it sounds like a luxurious experience in life, but that's sort of like where I catch all my ideas. And you know, a lot of things have been changing in my life. I'm sort of, you know, I guess I'm entering that middle age kind of thing. And, you know, and with that comes a lot of realizations on what you sort of like done in life to this point, where you're going, what could have been, you know, done a bit differently, or what could have been as a sort of surprise, how your life could have worked out a little bit differently. And so, you know, I lost my mom last year, and I think that brought a lot of, you know, reevaluation and you know, a lot of thoughts of my past and the future into my art practice. And so the Sehnsucht came about as sort of like feeling a nostalgia for my youth and childhood, and, you know, a sense of maybe belonging in a place, because my family has traveled quite a bit all around the world. And while we're here now in Sydney and settling in, you know, we come from very diverse background. So I guess this show is really, and this body of work is really about trying to integrate the psyche, trying to understand where one belongs in the world and in the place of time that they find themselves.
Mm. I mean, you know, you were born in Ukraine, you've lived in Russia as well as the US, and now in Australia. Has your style changed kind of, or has living in these places influenced the way you paint?
Oh, yeah. What a great question, Sophie. Thanks. Absolutely. I think that, you know, for artists, musicians and, you know, writers and visual artists as well, you know, where you are, you know, so you, in a way, you sort of process the environment that's around you. And, you know, I worked a while with a famous, you know, and lovely Australian artist, Joy Bertini, who's actually residing in the States now. And she always said to us, to her students, like, listen, dudes, you know, don't think too much of yourself. You're not gods. You can't just, you know, come up with ideas and things and paintings from your head. You know, you're part of the environment. And I couldn't agree more with that. You just sort of go through life and you try to accumulate as many experiences. And some things are conscious, you know, as in like, okay, well, I'm fascinated with human faces and how they process emotion, for instance. And so let's say Russian faces, I express it this way, you know, let's say American faces are a little bit more controlled. And so you go through that sort of experience in life and you see different facets of what you're fascinated with. And of course, that makes your practice more complex. But I also think that it's sort of like, you know, it keeps you open. You know, you're born in one place and you think, oh, that's how things are done. That's how the world works. And then you travel around and your assumptions are so challenged. And, you know, your like little philosophical treatises upon which you, you know, your morality, your sense of who you are, you're like, it's constantly getting a bruising. and so you become stronger and a more sort of like, you know, I guess, integrated, congruent person. It's interesting, right? Because, you know, on the one hand, it comes from discombobulation, you know, of your ideas and thoughts and beliefs, but somehow it all comes together. The more you, you know, process life and the more diversity you see.
Mm. Now, talking about some of your pieces in this exhibition, you've got The Opposite of Death is Love, Fairy Floss Dream, The Monk and the Sea. They're all quite very different in style in terms of like one's very pastel palette coloured and one's very dark. Can you kind of talk us through how you kind of envisioned these in a series?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. I'm generally sort of like a pinky kind of girl. I love my pastels. And, you know, it's just like, I don't know, like something about the light and Sydney and, you know, the textures on the harbor. You just love those, like, you know, lovely, soft and bright colors. But sometimes, you know, I go back to that sort of sense of like, well, look, it's a bit more about tone than it is about color. And specifically the painting that you're mentioning, you know, you're talking about The Opposite of Death is Love, and that painting specifically was inspired by my mom's life and so, you know, and her passing, and it was the first thing that I finished in the studio after I came back from Russia last year after she passed. And it's sort of like all the shapes on the horizon. Usually the modernist paint like sort of more flatly on the surface of the canvas or paper, and I do that as well. I paint very flat images. Mm-hmm. But this one has a bit of depth in it and has a bit of a perspective, sort of that horizon line where all the shapes are moving and shimmering and sort of disintegrating in a way. I think if you look at the painting for a long time, if you have 5-10 minutes to spend with it, and if you want to do that, you'll probably see a bit of movement on the horizon line, and you'll start feeling as if, you know, it's sort of like as if the time is passing and these shapes that you see on the horizon line are about to disappear. And maybe new ones will come in and maybe it will stay empty on that horizon line, but there's just, it's that sort of expectant feeling of movement and change. And I think that's just kind of where I was in my life at the time.
Mm. You also have the series Castle in the Sky. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah, Castle in the Sky. Well, that's sort of like the, I guess that's the nickname for Zane Zucht show, really. You know, Castle in the Sky is something, it's sort of like, I guess my metaphor for something that's sort of so beautiful and so lovely. It's like this castle, but it's so far away from you and out of reach. And it talks about, again, that sort of like, sense of longing for the dreams that maybe didn't quite pan out in one's life. It's a sense of, you know, it's the sense of, you know, longing for kind of an alternative, I guess, experience and existence. You know, maybe something in your life that's unfinished or imperfect that you want to reconcile. And, you know, the castle in the sky is just the dreams, basically, that one has never reached and maybe will never reach, but they're there and we see them and we try to reach them every day.
Now, you've also done a lot of music covers for artists. Did music play a part in this series?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. First of all, can I just say that music is truly and absolutely my life. And if I could pick one talent in life that I could have, it would be music. However, unfortunately, I do not have that talent. But, you know, it's interesting because with my visual arts practice, you know, I always kind of a little bit like Paul Klee. I listen to music, I dance, I tap, I probably annoy the people in my Balmain studio to the point where they just wish that I would just, you know, go and have a coffee because I'm always dancing and moving, you know, or maybe not a coffee, maybe a tranquilizer, I don't know. But I'm dancing when I'm painting because I'm listening to music. And interestingly, I think musicians, you know, and they told me so themselves, a few of them, I think they can feel that in the work, that there is a certain sort of like, you know, almost rhythm to it, you know, and they pick up on it. I actually had, when I just started with the Instagram account, upon advice of all my visual arts friends, they said, Andy, you have to do it. You have to do it. It's the thing. I said, oh, okay, I'll do it. So I did it. And a few years back, and through Insta, Patrick Carrera, who's working under the moniker of MUI, M-U-U-I, I think it goes for Music Under Influence, which is kind of clever. He's the founder of a label based in Berlin called Paranoid Dancer. He reached out to me and just kind of like very casually, he sent me this like, you know, email, and I was like, oh, spam for sure. Yeah. You know, what's this MUI? I have no idea. Berlin, I mean, seriously, probably wants the money. But then we started chatting, and, you know, he was for real, and he wanted to collaborate on quite a few. I think he purchased rights to 5 of my works at the time, and he did a few covers for Paranoid Dance, and then had his friend at the Canadian label, indie Canadian music label, Micro Castle, reach out to me, and I did with them a cover for MUI himself, not for his Paranoid Dancer label, for a really lovely EP called Seminole. And it's one of my actual favorite paintings that went on that cover song. I was very chuffed. And then I had, I worked with another musician, instrumental music, post-rock, The Best Pessimist, and Crowds in the Rain, and then started following Crowds in the Rain, and met this guy, Reza Naimi, who was a part of that band. He's a young pianist from Tehran and a composer. And he and his girlfriend wrote this absolutely stunning music inspired by my paintings. So essentially, I'm having a show, but it's also it's going to be accompanied by a release of the whole, you know, album that was devoted to this series of paintings. It's called Castle in the Sky, and is available on Spotify and Bandcamp and all the other platforms.
Fantastic. Well, the exhibition opens on Wednesday, 18th of July. It will run through to the 11th of August at Stanley Street Gallery. But you're also doing an artist talk on Friday, the 27th of July.
Yes, I'm doing an artist talk, and it's the official sort of opening celebration. There shall be cake and champagne, so please come on in and let's party and listen to music.
Sounds fantastic. But Andy, thank you so much for joining us here on at 2SER.
Oh, thanks, Sophia. I love your program. Thanks so much.
Not a problem.